one American at a time.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Let me remind you all over again, if you have a comment or a question about the Paracast, we want to hear from you. Send it to news@theparacast.com. Once again, that's news@theparacast.com. I promise we will read each and every message and answer most of them, really. Sometimes even 100%, depending on our mood. I'm being less than serious. We also have the forums. Forum.theparacast.com. That's forum.theparacast.com. The world famous Paracast community forums where the action is. We welcome your participation. Forum.theparacast.com. The Maury Island incident, by the way, was also featured in a book by Kenneth Arnold and Ray Palmer called The Coming of the Saucers. It was part two. Part one of the book was basically just Palmer recounting UFO sightings and such. We have Kenneth Thomas covering parapolitics. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. So, okay, Army intelligence is consulted in connection with this incident by Captain Smith and by Kenneth Arnold, right?
That's right. That's right. And they call people, and I call it Army intelligence because the Air Force was not a distinct branch of the military at that point. But these were Air Force guys, Lieutenants Davidson and Brown. They came out, they interviewed Chrisman, and then they were ready to get on a B-25 and fly off, actually, to the ceremonies that were originally to announce the separation of the Air Force as a separate branch of the service. Chrisman gave them a Kellogg's cornflakes box full of the flag that had come off the flying saucers, and they loaded it up on the B-25, and they got on it, and they took off, and they were going to take it to someplace to get it analyzed and try to reach some conclusions when their plane crashed, and they were killed. And, and after that, no real investigation, you know, even though two Army officers died and a plane was destroyed, there was never really an official investigation. They sent out a counterintelligence team that could not recover, couldn't find the Kellogg's cornflakes box full of stuff in the wreckage that had disappeared. They made the recommendation that that stuff should all be funneled through the foreign technologies desk of the Army, which is the exact same place that actually Philip Corso said they parceled out the Roswell wreckage. Interesting coincidence.
You know what? Interesting, Ken, when you said the words Kellogg's cornflake, what flashes in my mind was a line from a Paul Simon song, "Wish I was a Kellogg's cornflake." Don't ask me why. Go ahead, please.
Maybe, yeah, well, that's product placement. I get the money from Kellogg's to bring that up.
Wish I was a Kellogg's.
But anyway, that's, you know, after that, that's when Chrisman basically goes off to Alaska and disappears for many years, and then Dahl is left to kind of recover his life. I should mention, let me mention one thing about Ray Palmer. Ray Palmer, you're right, he's a pulp publisher, but he's probably most famous for publishing the Shaver mystery stories. The Shaver mystery involved stories told by a welder in Pennsylvania, a guy named Richard Shaver.
Right. We've had several shows on this, Ken, so keep it very brief.
Good,
go ahead.
Good. Then I could do a shorthand. Shaver and the Deros. What's interesting about this in relation to Maury Island is that Fred Chrisman wrote a letter talking about his battles with the Deros in Burma months before Kenneth Arnold, months before Ray Palmer ever hired Kenneth Arnold to investigate him. Ray Palmer knew who Fred Chrisman was before the investigation even began, before there ever was a Maury Island incident. He never told Arnold that, and it's just a complete mystery, and it's only one, and it's one of two that telegraphed Chrisman's presence before any of the main narrative happened. The other one is Jim Garrison. Jim Garrison was an FBI agent in the Pacific Northwest at the same time. And he knew another FBI agent who at the time was recovered a 30-inch flying saucer, kind of famously. That guy's name was Guy Bannister. And Garrison, it says in his autobiography, I used to have lunch with Bannister all the time. And this is a famous incident. Surely they were talking about this 30-inch flying saucer disc. They must have also been talking about Maury Island. Jim Garrison must have known who Fred Crisman was before he ever started investigating him as part of the Kennedy assassination. Now, there's no answer to to these issues. It's just this idea that Crisman's presence is telegraphed way in advance of whatever happens.
All right, now, course, Crisman went to Alaska, you said, right? Now, you're talking over me. Crisman went to Alaska. Is that true or
yeah,
what?
Well, what's that?
Is that true he went to Alaska?
Yeah, that's where the trail kind of disappears on him.
Okay. I'll tell you this. We talk about Fred Lee Crisman, I should tell you that years ago, a friend of mine, a UFO investigator, I don't know what happened to him, so if anyone knows him, a guy who lived in Chester, Pennsylvania, name of Floyd Murray, got involved in investigating Crisman. And then, you know, he kind of fell off the radar, too. So don't know what happened with Floyd Murray. But if you're listening, Floyd, let us know what happened with your investigation. Ken, please.
That's very interesting because I had a guy, Ron Halbritter was his name, and he was a Maury Island expert. And I have an appendix in the book that's just an interview with him. And I've since the original edition of the book, I've not heard from Ron Halbritter since. He's disappeared, too.
I hope there's no conspiracy there.
Let me make a footnote about Guy Bannister. Guy Bannister is played by Ed Asner in the Oliver Stone movie. He was running the Fair Play for Cuba office in New Orleans, and the most famous guy who was working for him was Lee Harvey Oswald. And this is the guy who was recovering a 30-inch flying saucer in the Pacific Northwest at the time of the Maury Island case.
Oh, boy. That really spins in circles.
Yeah. Jeez. Now, that dovetails into this recent story about this memo from another guy, a guy named Guy Hostel, who was the FBI guy in Idaho. And in it, researchers now are saying there's a famous note by J. Edgar Hoover from 1947 where he says that where he expresses his frustration that the Army wouldn't turn this thing over to him from the L.A. case. And he's talking about a UFO. And nowadays, Roswell researchers look at that L.A. because it's in handwriting. You look at L.A., people think it's Louisiana, although, you know, the abbreviations weren't really the same then. They weren't standard. Some people think now that it looks like S.W., that means Southwest, and that's how it's connected to the Roswell case. Well, that note was written just a couple of days after Guy Bannister recovered the 30-inch flying saucer. And the language in it, Hoover says that the Army wouldn't turn it over to him. He's talking about Roswell. I mean, Roswell was a debris field. You don't just turn over a debris field. Or even if it was a big spaceship, you just don't turn over a big spaceship. But you can turn over a little 30-inch disc. So I think there's every indication that what he's talking about in that memo is the Guy Bannister incident, you know, and you can't really understand that unless you understand Maury Island. But, you know, you've got these Roswell researchers who are obsessed with Roswell who kind of dismiss Maury Island as a hoax because they don't really know the history.
Okay, so when people are looking at Maury Island and trying to understand it, why are these facts, you know, not readily available except in your books and some other studies?
Well, yeah, that's a good point. My book is the only full book ever written on it. You know, you'll find a chapter in Ruppelt's book with the names all changed, and there are references to it. Another one of these sidebars that I have in the article is about Gerald Hurd, the famous British philosopher who wrote a book called The Riddle of the Flying Saucers that was published in the UK that had an entire chapter on Maury Island. Then when it was published in America under the title Is Another World Watching, the chapter was gone. Had he become convinced that it was a hoax, or did they take it out, you know, and was it under some kind of pressure? I have a whole essay dealing with that. And again, we've got this whole confusion because Dahl said it was a hoax. People believed what he had to say. The JFK research community, of course, doesn't want to get close to the UFO material, even though, you know, I'm not talking about Kennedy was shot because he was about ready to expose the Roswell secret. You know, that's not what this is about. It's about serious stuff about the counterintelligence world and assassinations. And they should be more interested, but, you know.
It's got the stench of UFOs. We have Kenneth Thomas joining us this week. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Have you been sitting on a few great domain name ideas but haven't locked them in for yourself? Good. Now you can buy them through the number one domain name registrar, Namecheap.com, as voted by the top tech blog Lifehacker. Just like the name says, you can buy domains cheap, as low as $2.99. And every new domain comes with WhoisGuard, our special privacy service, free for the first year. Now that you know, it's time to grab those domain names before someone else does. Namecheap.com. Go now. Namecheap.com.
Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
How would you like to rev up your metabolism and energy while lifting your spirits? Now a new healthy tea is available that will do just that, and it's called Zoom Tea. Zoom Tea was developed for a former welterweight boxing champion to increase his energy and focus in the ring. Zoom Tea is an alternative healthy pick-me-up that can replace coffee, common tea, or soda. Zoom Tea also helps remove radiation from the body, promotes weight loss, and is high in antioxidants. For a limited time, get our introductory price for a one-month supply of this amazing tea for just $20, or a two-month supply for only $35, and we'll pay the shipping and handling. Go to our website now and start feeling the healthy and energizing benefits from drinking Zoom Tea. Go to ZoomTea.com. That's ZoomTea.com. Or call toll-free 877-341-4769. 877-341-4769 today.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need MyPillow. Guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, MyPillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. MyPillow has a natural, built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. MyPillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. MyPillow is made in the USA, has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you want to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out on iTunes.
We're back with Kenneth Thomas discussing Parapolitics. Not conspiracy theories, ladies and gentlemen. Parapolitics. On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, focusing on Maury Island, this UFO case, 3 days before Kenneth Arnold's sighting in June 24th, 1947, Mount Rainier, Washington, 3 days earlier. It happens in Maury Island. All sorts of convoluted things happening. And then we have the connection, the weird connection with the Kennedy assassination. So we can understand why assassination researchers aren't going to want to touch this with a 10-foot pole or even a 50-foot pole.
Or even with a tall Australian.
Or Michael Jordan, even.
Well, here, let me just spice up the mix here a little bit, too. My dad was in the Coast Guard in 1947-48 and was stationed in Puget Sound. And does recall when they got their first radar unit, seeing objects that they couldn't identify, zipping in and out of the Straits of Juan de Fuca. And he told this story a couple of times to the family while, you know, when I was growing up. I did ask him in later years if he knew anything about the Maury Island incident. He recalled it being just a slight blip news story, but officially he was never brought into it or had no official knowledge of it as a member of the Coast Guard. So just to kind of stir the pot up a little, I even have a connection to the case kind of peripherally, having grown up, you know, in Belgium.
I wish I would have known that when I was putting together this new edition, you know, because I'm trying to add as much as I could to make this new edition as different as it could be with this much more.
Yeah, well, that's another little interesting sidebar.
Yeah, very interesting. It is, of course, the connection to the Kennedy assassination that makes it all the more complex. I mean, you would think these details would be as burned into people's brains as much as, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald. You would think Chrisman's name would be as known as Oswald. But they, you know, really successfully introduced these elements of ufology and stuff to make it obscure and to chase researchers away. One interesting thing about Chrisman is that he swore that there was a television show based on his life. And you probably remember the show. You ever hear of The Invaders?
Yeah, sure.
Voice in it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Chrisman said that was about him. And this is the idea. This is one of the ideas that comes out. That maybe Chrisman took that flag from the UFO, kept it to himself, maybe even sabotaged Davidson and Brown's plane. And he used it as a means, since he had the proof of the alien invasion or the alien connection, and the government doesn't want to get it out, he used it to blackmail himself to the most choice assignments, which would have included the Kennedy assassination. But The Invaders is about this guy who knows the secret of the alien invasion, you know, and he's constantly trying to expose it and being thwarted, you know. It's not such a far-fetched idea. The Invaders was a Quinn Martin production. If you remember Quinn Martin productions, but their other most famous show was the FBI.
Streets of San Francisco, too.
But, of course, Quinn Martin also produced The Fugitive.
That's right, The Fugitive, too.
Point,
though, the salient point about the FBI is that one of the consultants, was later the guy admitted and confessed to this, to the show, was Mark Felt, who is now universally recognized as Deep Throat in the Watergate story. So they do use intelligence and counterintelligence people to work on TV shows like that. And, in fact, another one of my sidebar additions to this new thing discusses the role, the changing image of the counterintelligence world on television. It traces the show Danger Man, which was a secret agent, you know, secret agent man, where you had a guy who was like James Bond, and he was saving the West from the evil communist. Every episode, he beat the criminal. Until you get to like 1968, in the time of Chrisman, when the same guy, Patrick McGoohan, who was in that show, was in another show, a cult show now, called The Prisoner, in which he was a guy who tried to drop out of the intelligence world, but he was gassed and he was thrown on an island and put in something called The Village. And every episode, he failed. And we're, you know, in Danger Man, he was the great hero, success every time, beating the enemy. In The Prisoner, he could never escape the island. And in the interim, you had people like Victor Marchetti and Philip Agee, famous CIA guys who dropped out and wrote these tell-all books. And you had the Assassinations Committee we discussed before, and other congressional committees exposing some of the abuses of the CIA, and the whole image of what counterintelligence work was all about completely changed from one of benevolence to one of malevolence.
Yeah. I am not a number. I am a man. You are number six.
Okay.
One of my favorite TV shows of all time.
It only lasted, what, about a dozen episodes?
Yeah, 13 episodes, yeah.
And Patrick McGoohan also, by the way, produced that show.
That's right. And then actually there are two episodes of Danger Man that foreshadow The Prisoner. One of them, actually the first episode of Danger Man was filmed at Port Mirion, where the village was, where most of The Prisoner was filmed at. And there's another episode in which he does, in the last episode, they do this really surrealistic thing where they talk, where the main guy, he essentially winds up discovering, you know, he's number six, who's number one. He discovers who number one is, and it turns out to be him or his inner soul or whatever. That happens in an episode of Secret Agent. So, yeah, it was like a, you know, like Patrick McGoohan's statement, artistic statement, you know, and it only lasted those few episodes because he only intended it to last those episodes, kind of thing. But, again, simultaneously at this time, Chrisman, who was being subpoenaed by Jim Garrison in the JFK assassination, feels as if he's watching himself on television every week in The Invaders, and with Roy Thomas starring as him.
Wow. Has anyone really researched the writers of The Invaders and found out if there indeed is a link? Or?
Well, no. I mean, the closest we got is this Mark Felt guy, who is Deep Throat in Watergate, you know.
Right.
And he worked for the FBI, so we know that Quinn Martin Productions did hire people like that and generally keep it secret. I did meet Roy Thinnes and explained all this to him, and he was fascinated. He didn't know a thing one about it.
Did Roy Thinnes have any awareness of this mystique or the mystery that surrounded that character, or did he just think, oh, it's another acting gig?
It was really just another acting gig, and he didn't know who Chrisman was. I think he did know, though, that George Adamski's granddaughter worked on this show, and that saucer that you see at the beginning of the Invaders thing is a classic George Adamski saucer, kind of a bell-shaped with the little globular things underneath.
Okay, by the way, since we were talking before about connections and synchronicity, now, in a previous week's episode when we were talking about the Crystal Skull, we mentioned this movie where they featured Crystal Skulls called The Phantom, you know, based on the comic book character. And the Phantom's dad was played by Patrick McGoohan. Okay.
Is that right? Really? I didn't know that.
Remember the Phantom with, of course, Billy Zane, Catherine Zeta-Jones, and he sees the ghost of his father. Okay? The previous Phantom. And that's Patrick McGoohan. Who, by the way,
so
was
McGoohan
born in America, although...
For a few seconds.
Huh?
So McGoohan is only on screen for a few minutes.
You see him on and off throughout the movie.
Uh-huh.
So you do. We'll get into more of the synchronicity and these strange connections and conspiracies or parapolitics with Kenneth Thomas. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
The Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans the galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockaways.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockaways. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
You've heard a lot lately about zeolite, but what is it and why do you need it? Zeolite is a beautiful complex crystalline structure that encapsulates radiation and odors. ZeoKing Zeolite naturally eliminates radiation poisoning your body may pick up from x-rays, security scanners, or nuclear fallout. ZeoKing flushes environmental toxins absorbed from smoke, cell phones, and chemicals. so it detoxifies heavy metals, including mercury, lead, and cadmium. Zeo King Zeolite helps boost your immune system, allowing your body to balance itself and cut off food supply to cancer and parasites. Order your Zeo King Zeolite now from ZeoKing.com for only $39.99 and receive a free month supply with every order. Call 888-402-6779. That's 888-402-6779. Or visit ZeoKing.com. That's ZeoKing.com for natural elimination of radiation poisoning.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
The number one secret to having great health and long life is having high levels of glutathione. This master antioxidant is required by your body to stop free radicals, keep cells young, remove chemical and heavy metal toxins, support immunity, support liver functions, stop inflammation, and much more. The results of optimal levels of glutathione in your body are more mental and physical energy, stronger immune system, greater endurance, and more. Do you know the number one secret superfood that helps increase your glutathione levels by 64% or more? It's unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows. This health food is amazing in its ability to do so much for virtually everyone. Introducing One World Whey, an industry-first unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit OneWorldWhey.com. That's OneWorldWhey.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
You notice, ladies and gentlemen, this time I said you're in very quickly, hoping that I'd kind of trip up Chris O'Brien, my co-host. And he was right on the beat. You see, when he's ready, he's ready. Kenneth Thomas joining us. We're talking about parapolitics. We're finding all these weird connections between Fred Chrisman, Harold Dahl, the Kennedy assassination, Maury Island, Patrick McGoohan.
Guy Bannister discovering a 30-inch flying saucer. That's news to me, Ken. Well, I'll tell you, that's a good one.
Yeah. All these characters, their Mark Fell,
like
Deep
even
Throat
a drawing
is in
on
this
on
thing.
The front page of a newspaper. It's reproduced in the book, JFK and UFO.
Wow.
Actually, the full title of the book is JFK and UFO, Military Industrial Conspiracy and Cover-Up from Maury Island to Dallas. It's quite a mouthful.
Doesn't fall trippingly from the tongue.
It rolls right out of your mouth.
Something like that.
It is. It's the flagship of the current product line. It's Steam Shovel Press. I should impress upon your listeners that steamshovelpress.com is where you want to go to really follow everything I'm doing, because there are a number of things. Although just today, I started a Facebook page for Steam Shovel Press, too, so you could maybe check that as well.
Your but social the networking for everybody here. Now, you're discovering the joys of social networking.
Yeah. And I'm a real dragging my feet on it for years. But anyway, JFK and UFO from Feral House is the big one. On the website, I have an electronic PDF available only through the website called Popular Parapolitics, which is a group of essays about my adventures in the conspiracy subculture. I've got, again, I wrote the foreword for the case book on the Men in Black, the new edition that Adventures Unlimited Press just came out with. I also wrote an article on the Nazi connection to UFO history that appears in Round Trip to Hell and Back in a Flying Saucer that Timothy Beckley just published.
Now, what does this have to do? Round Trip to Hell in a Flying Saucer is a reprint of an old UFO book. This chapter, can you maybe describe it briefly?
Well, it is a reprint of that book, but there's a lot of add-on stuff by a lot of different people. And my thing is, what I write there is on the history of the connection between UFOs and the Nazis, which is really kind of, I'm sure, well-known with a lot of people who are listening. But the Nazis, and some of these people, you know, trace this back to the Thule Society, that, you know, a very early occult interest of the Nazis. But above and beyond that, that they were developing aircraft at the end of World War II that were saucer-shaped and did incredible things. And, you know, there's some idea that that the Maury Island thing, that the secret flying saucers, if they're not from outer space, it's captured Nazi technology that we were testing, kind of a thing. So all that's going on.
Our entire space program is based on Nazi technology, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's Operation Paperclip, and that figures in fairly heavily into this story, because when Garrison supposedly, if you ignore the high probability that he'd heard of Crisman in 47, Crisman gets a letter, an anonymous letter from somebody that makes this connection between Crisman and Clay Shaw. And supposedly Clay Shaw was involved in the surrender of Werner von Braun, the top Nazi rocket scientist. And that's the connection to Crisman. I have in the book, though, I looked up in the National Archives a document that is exculpatory of Shaw in some sense, that demonstrates that he was in the United States when von Braun surrendered. But, you know, he could still have been coordinating the Americans, the U.S. side of the surrender. So, that, you know, that doesn't necessarily totally disconnect him from that scenario.
Fred Lee Crisman, he seems to float in the periphery of the UFO field. He's supposedly somehow connected with the Kennedy assassination. He even had a talk radio show at one time. So who and what was his background?
Well, there's a whole book on that subject out now. So I go through it all. There is, in fact, even a sidebar on his life as a right-wing radio talk show host. There was a newsletter called Homefront that just, in the course of my research, I stumbled upon accidentally, that gives a whole snapshot view of what life was like with Crisman. And people think he's a con man. Some people think he's a con man. Some people think he's really was a counterintelligence guy. And when you review the history of it all, it's kind of hard to reach a conclusion. But there is one interesting aspect of it, is that during that time, when he was a talk show host, he was doing all that under the name of John Gold. And he even wrote a book, because he was involved also in the city politics of Tacoma. And he wrote a book called Murder of the City, in which he's talking about the political structure of Tacoma and how he tried to change it. And he even makes the case that when he was doing his politics, that somebody tried to assassinate him. But in that book, he talks about his business partner at the time, a guy named Marshall Reconosciuto. And Reconosciuto's son, his son even makes a cameo appearance there. A guy named Michael Reconosciuto is a famous figure in my other most well-known book, The Octopus. He is the main informant to Danny Casolaro, this reporter who was investigating a global transnational cabal that he called the Octopus. And Michael Reconosciuto was involved in the development of something called the Promise software, which is connected to the Inflaw scandal of the 80s. And there's a whole other book on it. That's all 80s and 90s and going forward. And in fact, Osama bin Laden supposedly was given this Promise software, and that's how he escaped capture all those years. So you see multi-generational connections between not only, because Reconosciuto has his UFO stories too, but you see this kind of intertwined action between the UFO subculture and the counterintelligence world going through a couple of generations and still affecting us today.
Okay. So Crisman, of course, is long dead now, right?
Died in 1975.
Okay.
And that's a bit of a controversy because he was...
Can it be anything else with Crisman but a controversy?
he felt as he was being abducted because he'd be passing out. He had kidney problems. He'd be passing out. He'd wake up in a hospital surrounded by all these creepy-looking people in their instruments. And so he told people he thought he was being abducted by aliens. And actually, Bud Hopkins and all those people didn't come by until later than 75, although you had abductees like the Hills, Benny and Barney Hill, back in 66.
But there's no connection between Fred Lee Christman and Bud Hopkins, is there?
No. Not that I know of.
All right. Just checking.
Sorry. Can't connect everything. But no, that's just something, you know, in his dying days.
But after all these years, putting together a new edition of this book, what information is left to be found that we can find?
Oh, I found a ton of stuff. My favorite is the Gerald Hurd stuff, you know, because I was trying to investigate why Hurd dropped that chapter on Maury Island. I still haven't read that chapter on Maury Island. I know it's out there somewhere.
All right, now, Gerald Hurd doing what? Who is he?
Gerald Hurd is a famous British philosopher. He's kind of been with Aldous Huxley and all those guys in the 60s. And he wrote basically one of the first books of the modern era called The Riddle of the Flying Saucers. And in America, it came out under the title Is Another World Watching? And the difference between the two editions is the Maury Island chapter. There's a Maury Island chapter in the British version that was left out of the American version. Now, how do you find out why? In the course of doing this research, just by happenstance, I discovered that Hurd actually gave a lecture here in town where I live at a local university in 1950, the same time that that book was coming up. And I'm thinking, well, maybe he said something about Maury Island. Maybe I can find something here. So I go to the college that actually has the tape, and they won't let me listen to it. They say it's too old. If they play it, the tape is going to fall apart. And
maybe that's true because
person,
tape has a short shelf life. That's one of the problems with magnetic tape. It doesn't hold itself.
That's quite true. You know, I work
maybe
in an archive.
I'll
in
tell
fact,
you what here.
I'm
we have Kenneth Thomas, and we're talking about parapolitics, the Kennedy assassination, Maury Island, Gerald Hurd, the late philosopher who wrote a book about UFOs, which I read, by the way, long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
Okay, Gerald Hurd wrote a chapter of his book. We're talking to Kenneth Thomas to explain what this meant, his UFO book. This is the Paracast with Gene and Chris, exploring parapolitics. So, you went to check out this recording of his speech, but of course they wouldn't let you hear it because they say the tape just wouldn't hold up.
It's falling apart. And I'm dealing with the archivist at this college, someone I trained. You know, I worked in an archive. I have for 2.5 decades. And a lot of the archives around here are staffed by people that I've helped train. And I'm like, oh, come on. Give me a break. Give me the tape. I'll take it to my office. We have digitizing equipment. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The archives do not circulate. I'm like, what is the point of having a tape in an archive that nobody can listen to? And it just so happens, and I was losing this battle, and it just so happens that a vendor approaches this archives about digitizing their collection. They don't have money to do it, of course. All archives are underfunded. But, you know, the vendor wants to show them a sample of its work. So, since I know the person there, and she wanted to accommodate me, she just couldn't, she gave the tape to the vendor. The vendor digitized it, and I got to listen to Gerald Hurd speak in 1950. And, of course, no answers about Maury Island, but a fabulous lecture about what's going on at the time, you know, and here's a scientific guy, not some crazy person, and he's trying to break it down for a very staid 1950 audience, and he gives this wonderful lecture that involves one of my favorite stories, the story of Galileo and the moons of Jupiter. It's kind of well known. Arthur Koestler writes about it. Galileo invites these clerics over to look at the moons of Jupiter in his early telescope. The clerics look through it, even though, you know, you could do it tonight, you could see it. The clerics couldn't. They couldn't see it because it didn't fit their paradigm. Their paradigm of an Earth-centered world, there couldn't be another world that had moons around it. But we know that to be true. And that's a famous story, and that's what Koestler in his book, Sleepwalker, says. That's the same thing that's going on with the flying saucers. Scientists can't see them because it doesn't fit into their paradigm. Which is a cool moral lesson, but Gerald Hurd had another spin on it that I thought was absolutely brilliant. Because another thing we know about Galileo is that he saw Saturn, and with the primitive equipment that he had, the rings of Saturn looked like little teacup handles. and he couldn't figure that out. And he makes a note in his diaries, Saturn devours its children, which goes back to an ancient myth about Saturn that the ancients used to describe the planet. And then he doesn't visit Saturn again. Once or twice, he maybe takes a couple notes, but he doesn't study it. You know, this is the guy that discovered the moons of Jupiter. I mean, he could have made another great discovery, discovering the rings of Saturn. But he felt, according to her, which is a brilliant analysis of what's going on here, he felt that the ancients knew something about that planet that he didn't know and he couldn't figure out. So because of his hubris, because he didn't want to further pursue that, he did not become the discoverer of the rings of Saturn. So you have the clerics who couldn't see things because of their paradigms, and you have the scientists, the great scientist Galileo, who wouldn't. And it's such a perfect, to me, such a perfect summation of the problem of trying to understand UFOs and flying saucers that, you know, even though I didn't get any answers about his Maury Island chapter, I just felt really fortunate to be able to hear that lecture at all.
Well, Ken, what other projects have you been? I know you've got a lot of irons in the fire. You're a meticulous researcher. You've got a lot of, works in progress. Any other projects that you'd like to talk about?
Well, I mentioned the big three that you can get through the steamshovelpress.com website. I'm not quite sure. Publishing is in such a state of flux now. The next book that I would like to do is something I call Wilhelm Reich, Technology of Space. But I don't know if I should, you know, give it to one of my publishers or if I should just do one of those print-on-demand things. Which seems to be the way to go. So it's, you know, it's a gray area what I'm going to do next. In the immediate future, of course, I'm going to spend a lot of time promoting JFK and UFO. And, you know, if there are people out there that want me to come by, I got a great lecture on this. I'm happy to do lecture and book signings for anybody who wants to give me that kind of attention.
Well, we have time to even talk about it further and get more into this connection. But, of course, you know, you go back and you have the stories back in the 50s that Eisenhower, you know, supposedly he went to a dentist, but he wasn't really going to a dentist. He was checking out the crashed UFO. So
that's right. And actually, I tell that whole story in another book that recently published by Feral House called Secret and Suppressed 2. I have a whole essay on Wilhelm Reich as the possible ally to Eisenhower in his negotiations with the aliens.
Whoa. Now we've got a story here, and I know that my wife had studied some of the works of Wilhelm Reich years and years ago, first wife, Geneva. And I don't know if she still is interested in that or not, but the thing I want to ask about here, maybe you explain, because we don't hear much about Reich these days, who and what he was, what his discoveries with Orgon Energy were about, and how would there be a possible connection with Eisenhower?
Okay. In 30 words or less,
that
covers a lot of ground. Reich was a protege of Sigmund Freud. He was one of the Viennese, the inner circle of the psychoanalytic crowd. He was actually kicked out of that for being too much of a communist, and then he was kicked out of the Dutch Communist Party for being too much of a Freudian. And he fled the Nazis and to Norway, where he started doing this experimental work that demonstrated to him a certain kind of energy that pulsates in the atmosphere that he called orgone. And then he fled further to the United States, and he developed technologies to manipulate that energy. And one of the technologies was the Cloudbuster gun that he found was also useful in combating flying saucers that came down around his lab in Rangeley, Maine.
How would you combat flying saucers? Would you knock them out of the sky?
They're like blinking in the sky, and you aim the Cloudbuster gun at them, and they stop blinking. They go away.
Did it affect their light source?
Well, they disappeared effectively enough. I mean, Reich, of course, he's not declaring victory. He's just taking notes. And, in fact, what happens after that, and there's a whole lot to this story. That's why I'm doing a whole book on it. But after that, he took the Cloudbuster guns down to Tucson, Arizona. And along the way, he very clearly goes through Roswell, New Mexico, deliberately, and he discusses how it seems to be affected by an alien presence. And this is in 1955. Now, you've got a whole crowd of people out there that say the Roswell thing is a big fantasy that Sam Friedman and all these people came up with in the 1980s when it was just a blip in the news cycle in 1947. It didn't go anywhere. Nobody said anything about it until Stan and Shandir and those people came along. Well, here's a clear example in Reich's last book, which I admittedly is hard to come by, a book called Contact with Space, but it is there. And he is talking about Roswell. So he takes his Cloudbuster guns out to Tucson, and he's fighting UFOs out there, and he's making reports to Eisenhower. You know, he's a good Boy Scout, kind of a believing liberal Republican who voted for Eisenhower.
And now, did Eisenhower commission him to do this?
No.
Okay.
He did it, but he kept sending reports on it to government sources. And, of course, many people take this as his dementia, that there were government sources. But in this essay, in Secret and Suppressed Truth, I demonstrate that, no, he gave these reports to official people, specifically Lew Douglas, who was a member of Eisenhower's kitchen cabinet, and they scheduled meetings with him. And not only that, but those meetings, the dates of those meetings coincide exactly with one of the MJ-12 documents, which a lot of people dismiss as hoax, and maybe a lot of those documents are hoax. But that one, because of its connection to the Lew Douglas archives, discovered by a researcher years later, thousands of miles apart, it's a triangulation of research that absolutely, as far as anything ever has been determined, proves the existence of a group called MJ-12. So that's all laid out in that Secret and Suppressed Truth. So there were official contacts between Reich and the government. And in fact, I think I even show this in the book, the Air Force later developed its own weapon that looks exactly like a Cloudbuster gun, and they, in fact, called it the Cloudbuster.
Yeah, but isn't it also true that the government went after Wilhelm Reich saying that he was perpetrating a fraud?
Right, right. Because prior to the Cloudbuster gun, in fact, he created something called the Oregon Box, which is multi-leveled organic and inorganic material that you would sit in and accumulate orgone energy. And I personally verified this one time in England with a BBC producer. We took an orgone box to an infrared imaging lab, state-of-the-art equipment, and demonstrated what's called the temperature differential.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into more of orgone energy, Wilhelm Reich, UFOs, Eisenhower, and more. We have Kenneth Thomas. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right. Every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.